Why is the resurrection important? I want to read something to you that I read. It was an article published by the company BOLDE, Bold, and it was written by a man named Jeff Davis. This is an excerpt from that article. Some Christians argue that the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ is not actually essential to the core message of Christianity. They believe that the teachings of Jesus about love, forgiveness, and social justice are what really matter, not whether or not he actually rose from the dead. Now, this statement reflects a growing sentiment within Christianity. I use the term loosely. The reality of Jesus' being resurrected is being discarded in exchange, or omitted at least, in exchange for living a good life and being a good person, imitating the life of Jesus Christ. That sounds okay to those who, number one, have never read the Bible, never read the scriptures, and it sounds okay to those that don't believe the scriptures are the infallible word of God. It sounds okay to casual Christians. Y'all know what I mean by casual Christians? The ones that are shallow, have no deepness of understanding, knowledge, that don't pick up their Bibles and study and meditate about it. People that name the name of Christ, but don't really follow Him. And that sounds okay to them. Now, it has always been a tactic of Satan to speak in half-truths. Y'all remember that? That's how he started in the garden. Yea, hath God not said that you can eat of every tree in the garden? God did say that, but that's not all that God said. So you can't pick and choose things that you want out of the scriptures and omit others that you don't like. That has been a tactic of Satan from the beginning. And we know that he was a liar from the beginning. We know that he's a murderer from the beginning. And as I spoke about several weeks ago, God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, and we certainly don't want to be ignorant of Satan's devices. You can drink the Kool-Aid, and it may taste sweet with sugar in it, and it may be red or whatever color is put in it, but there's also death in the pot if you drink it. Now, I want you to follow me because this matters. If I were to make a cake and I had all the ingredients and the recipe in front of me, and I mixed the eggs and the milk and the sugar, but I omitted the flour or any one of the ingredients and didn't read the recipe, what I would end up with is a nasty soup. That's plain, isn't it? I mean, that makes sense. I remember Sonia's friend, my friend too, in college, she made a chess pie. And in that chess pie, she forgot to put the sugar. And I took a bite, and that was, to that point, the nastiest thing that I'd ever eaten. And it was just one ingredient left out. Now, I've had some nastier things than that the older I've gotten and the longer I've lived. But that was nasty, not because she added something, but it was because she omitted something that needed to be in there. And if the growing sentiment among Christianity is to leave out the resurrection, then all you're going to end up with is a concoction that tastes bad. Now, I mean spiritually. Now, I'd like to speak to you today about the importance of the resurrection, because the gospel is the good news, and without the resurrection, there is no good news. Y'all got it? Now, the resurrection, I want you to remember this. The resurrection is not, it did not originate with Christianity. Does that shock you? I hope it doesn't. Because the Bible says that when Jesus was speaking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, because we're going to be here for a minute, turn to Matthew 22 and verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees. Who knows who the Sadducees are? There still are some. They were people in Israel, among the children of Israel, and they had a doctrine that believed that, and them and the Pharisees were the two main groups, just like you've got in today in Christianity. Let's say Christianity is a nation. And within that nation, you have different flavors of Christianity. You have Catholics over here, Presbyterians over here, Baptists over here, and Primitive Baptists over here. Okay? Methodists over here. There's a lot of different flavors. Okay? In Judaism, in Israel, there were two main flavors, And one flavor was the Sadducees, who did not believe that there was a resurrection. And they also did not believe that there were angels, not understanding what God said. There was another group called the Pharisees. Y'all know about them. We're not going to talk about them right now. The Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection and did not believe in angels, also believed that when you died, the whole man died. Body, soul, and spirit perished. That's what they believed. That's not what happens, but that's what they believed. You see, many people believe things that aren't true. And they didn't know that. Listen to what the Lord said. Verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and asked him, meaning asked Jesus, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed to his brother. Now, they're going to put him to a test. They're going to put Jesus to a test and give him a situation and see how Jesus is going to answer it. And here's the situation. Now, there were with us seven brethren. And the first, when he had married a wife, deceased. That means he died. Having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. So what we've got here is according to the law, which these Sadducees were very keen at following. They, just like the Pharisees, they had a different opinion about it, but they kept it. They thought they kept it. Now these Sadducees said, according to Moses' law, if this man, they had seven brothers and this man died, and this is not just a story. He said there were with us seven brothers. So this is reality. They said the first one died and left her to his brother. The second one died and left her to the third brother. The third brother died, left him to the fourth. The fourth died, left to the fifth. Fifth died, left to the sixth. Sixth died, left to the seventh. Seven died also, and then she died. And here's their question. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her, meaning to wife, as a wife. They were wondering, how are you going to split her up seven ways? You know what shocks me about this? They didn't even believe in the resurrection. And they're asking Christ in the resurrection, you see, they were just trying to trip him up. They didn't even believe in the resurrection. And yet they ask him a question like they did. Listen to Jesus' reply. Ye do err. That means you've made an error. You're in error. Not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. You see, they didn't. The resurrection and their question, and they're thinking that there's not a resurrection, but asking Jesus about it. They don't know the scriptures, and they're not acquainted with the power of God. And so Jesus goes on, And he says, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. You see what Jesus did there? They didn't believe in angels either, and Jesus brought it up. He said, oh, by the way, there's angels in heaven. And you do err not knowing that, because you've not known the scriptures that they said they knew a lot about. You know, there's a lot of Christians, just like that citation that I read from that article, they err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. You see how this lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, and lack of spiritual reality in their lives, as far as not understanding and not attributing power to God, what matter is it that you live a good life if God doesn't have power and there's no resurrection? That's the same thing. Jesus said, you err. You don't know the power of God, and there's angels up there. And you don't know the scriptures. In the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. The souls and spirits have been raised from their mortal bodies at death and are present with God at death. You remember a couple years ago, we preached about 6 or 7 sermons on what happens at death. And this is one of them. The soul and spirit goes back to God who gave it. He told the thief on the cross, the thief said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus told him, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now his body went to the grave, but his soul and spirit was with the Lord in paradise. That's heaven itself. That's not just some limbo place. That's heaven itself. And if it happened to the thief on the cross that he was to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. And if it happened to the thief on the cross, as Jesus said it did, it'll happen to you just like it did the thief. And just like Paul declared, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, and by the power of God, that soul and spirit will be reunited with the body and reanimate it. And it will be a sinless body, worthy and fit to dwell in glory with Him. It's not fit right now. But you know what is fit in it? The soul and the spirit that has been given to you in the new birth by the Spirit of God. Now, Jesus says, how's this happen? By the power of God. And when Jesus said that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living, every one of those that have been, that have had the new birth and have been a part and been in Christ Jesus, are living even though their bodies are dead. They're alive right now. as opposed to what the Sadducees thought, that the body, that the whole man perished and died at death. Y'all got it? What makes you, you, does not die at death. Your body, within which you are housed, dies, but you do not. Either the just or the unjust. But I'm not talking about the wicked today. I want to talk about God's folks. Because I don't think any of y'all are wicked. I think y'all are God's folks because you've demonstrated that you love God. You've demonstrated that you sing praises to Him. I know you pray and all those, and you possess the fruit of the Spirit, which is an evidence that you've been born of the Spirit. And therefore, a child of the King. And if you're God's child, you're His. Now, so the resurrection is not a new notion that started with Christianity. These Jews knew about it. Let's go to John chapter 11. I'll give you another instance of where the Jews believed in the resurrection, and it's taught all throughout the Old Testament. John chapter 11. Verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. How did Martha know that? How did Martha know that? It's because that was an understanding that the Jews had from God from when He called them to be a nation. Since that time, I tell you that this understanding of and this idea of the resurrection did not start with Christianity. It did not start after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was all through the Bible. In the Old Testament. Before then. Even in the law. Now, plenty of instances of resurrections. But she said, I know that he'll rise again in the last day. In the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. And the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe that? These folks that don't believe in the resurrection can't say that they believe that they'll never die. Because if they aren't resurrected, then they're staying in the ground. If they're not resurrected, their soul and spirit doesn't go back to God. It won't be reunited with the body, and they can't say that they believe in Jesus Christ. Not fully. They've omitted the most important part of what we believe that binds every Christian together in hope. And it bound almost every Jew in hope. In expectation that it would come. Okay. Now, She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. There's a lot of preaching in that, but I want you to just to understand that those Jews understood about the resurrection. So, let's go to Acts chapter 2. I can already see this is getting bigger than I can talk about today. This is Peter's sermon, one of them. This was preached on the day of Pentecost. Peter says, Ye men of Israel, I'm just going to read it. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. That means death didn't have any power over him to keep him in that grave. For David speaketh concerning... Listen, he goes all the way back to David. Peter says, For David speaketh concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, Peter says, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. And he goes on. I'm telling you, he says, in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. I'm telling you, friends, Jesus Christ was always Jesus Christ after his birth. They didn't call him Jesus until he was born, but that Jesus had an office, and his office was the Christ. And as the Christ, he has always been the Lord. You understand that? The Lord has always been, and he is the second person in the Godhead in Jesus Christ. And now, I want to tell you, he came on the scene as Jesus, and that Jesus is the Christ. and that Christ is the office of Redeemer, that Christ is the office of Savior. They called him Jesus because he was the Savior. Now, Peter says that this man, that this David talked about the resurrection, and that this man, Jesus, was resurrected by the power of God. And because that's what he came to do. Now, how important is it for us to know about the resurrection? How important is it for us to believe in the resurrection? There's a lot of things that this has great consequence. The resurrection has great consequence. Number one, Jesus is both Lord and Christ by the resurrection. He's always been Lord and Christ, but it declared Jesus to be Lord and Christ at his resurrection. Do you get that? He always was. He's the eternal Son of God. He didn't come into existence as God when he was born, but he came into existence and showed up on the scene as the man God when he was born. As God manifest in the flesh. He's always been manifested, but he is manifested in the flesh at his birth and declared to be the Son of God with power at his resurrection. I tell you that if you don't believe that, then Christ ain't come. If you don't believe in the resurrection, you have no hope. If you don't believe in the resurrection, Jesus Christ is not your Lord and he is not your Christ. That's strong language, ain't it? But what you say you believe has consequences to it. The Bible declares it. We need to think about what we say in light of what the Scriptures say. All these Christians out here saying that they don't believe that there's a resurrection. What they're saying is Jesus Christ is not my Lord and he is not my Christ. Because the resurrection declares that he is both. You got that? Now, let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Verse 1. 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures of Jesus Christ, not him being an apostle, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David. There it comes again, David. According to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now, how important is this resurrection? This resurrection is so important that he's declared to be the Son of God with power. The power I want you to think about this. Brother Danny preached about it last night, about the miracles. He said, the deaf hear, blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised to life again, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. The dead are raised to life again. That's resurrection. There's three accounts of it, at least. OK? got Lazarus, a young boy in the bier, and the woman, the little girl Tabitha that had died, and several, maybe some more. The dead have their, that was a sign that he was Lord and Christ. Now I want you to think about what powerful things in this world. If I was a magician and I had sleight of hand, you'd be amazed at that, wouldn't you? There's some magic tricks. I don't know how they did. Houdini, you know, they chained him up, put him in a box and threw him in the river. I don't know how he got out. Nobody knows how he got out. Some mysterious things that inspired wonder in people. But if somebody was walked up to your dead parents or dead son that had been dead for a week or 3 days or however long, and touched them, or just spoke to them and said, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk," or "Arise out of that coffin," and the cold, dead, lifeless corpse was reanimated with the power of God and got up out of that coffin, that'd make you think, wouldn't it? That'd make you fall on your face and rejoice, because not only was your dead restored to life back to you, like Martha and Mary had, that is the greatest display of power on this earth, to have the dead raised. I mean, in our vision. But like Brother Danny said, the poor have the gospel preached is no less a miracle as the resurrection. And all of them come by the power of God. He was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection. Not only that, he said, Paul said, we've received some things. Grace and apostleship. And that was given for obedience to the faith. So there's a lot of... if the resurrection hadn't come, if there's no resurrection, Paul says, if you received grace by it, then if the resurrection didn't happen, guess what? You don't have grace. You ever thought about that way? Because grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And if he was declared to be both Lord and Christ by the resurrection, you don't have either if there's no resurrection. Grace nor truth. We need to think about what we say, what we believe, don't we? In terms of what the scriptures say. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm sorry, chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's go over there. You know, it's amazing. Romans 1 and 1 talks about this. Peter's first sermon in Acts talked about resurrection. Let's listen. Let's see what Peter's got to say about it in his first letter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What has he begotten you to? What did the resurrection beget you to? What did the resurrection of Jesus Christ do for you? Not only did it declare him as power, but it also gave you a lively hope. My friends, what is a hope? A hope is an expectation. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have no hope. You have no expectation of a future state in glory in heaven with God the Father, the Spirit, and the Son. You have no hope of that if there's no resurrection. Yeah, you live a good life. Yeah, you can imitate Christ's life, and it won't do you any good. It won't help you. It won't give you any comfort. It won't give any glory to God. It won't glorify Jesus Christ at all if you just believe Jesus was a good man that's dead. It won't help you, and it won't help other people either, because it's not according to the Scriptures. It's not according to truth. Now, what else did this do for us? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. That means born again. Begotten us again, or we have a different kind of hope. You know, they had hope. They had an expectation that the Messiah would come. But after the Messiah came, the resurrection gives us a hope of a future resurrection, a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And what is this hope of? What's it to? What's it concerning? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I'm going to tell you, if there's no resurrection, you have no hope of that future state. You have no reservation. You have no place that's undefiled. You have no place that fades not away. All you have is your life in this world, which is fleeting and withering away. You're not getting better. You're getting worse and worse. And do you know what the end of your life on this earth is? Your worm food. In the dirt, under the ground, you've been subject to gravity all your life, and finally, gravity will suck you back down into the earth, and that's it for you if you don't believe in the resurrection. I mean, you have no hope if you don't believe in the resurrection. Not saying there's not a future state. Not saying that that's all there is just because you don't believe it. Because things are true whether you believe them or not. You got it? I hope you believe it. Because without it, you have no expectation. You're not expecting anything past this life. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul wrote this whole book to the church, two whole letters to the church at Corinth. The church of Corinth had a problem. They have a problem just like many Christians do today. They didn't believe in, some of them didn't believe in a resurrection either. So what's happening today is not new. It's not a new thought. It's not a new idea. There were a lot of people that erred and didn't know the scriptures among the Sadducees, and also post-resurrection of Christ in the church of Corinth. They didn't believe in the resurrection, that there was a resurrection, some of them. And Paul asked them a question in verse 12. I mean, he proved by many witnesses in defending the resurrection up to this verse 12, but it won't do for me to go into it. But his question is this: now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Paul's going to go on. And Paul's going to take that statement to its logical end. You know, I told you, it matters what we believe. It matters for us what we believe. What we believe is not going to make it so or not so. Your belief in the truth doesn't change the truth. It just lets other people know where you stand according to truth. Paul says there are some outcomes for not believing the resurrection. The event of the resurrection. The event of Jesus' resurrection. Not just the resurrection at the last day. The event of Jesus' resurrection. Y'all got that? Paul says, how do you say it? How do you say that? But if there be, he said, if there be no resurrection, here's the logical end, then Christ is not risen. That's the first thing. And if Christ is not raised, then our preaching is vain. It's vanity to go to church and listen to a preacher preach about the resurrection of Jesus Christ if you don't believe in the resurrection. And you see, that's Satan's deception. Because there's no use in going to hear somebody talk about somebody that's dead. Right? And so, if you don't believe in the resurrection, church attendance don't matter. It don't matter. We're just going to live a good life and we're basically good people. You know, that's what they'll say. Sounds okay on the surface, don't it? But Paul says, if Christ is not risen, our preaching is vain. That's bad enough. Because we preach a risen Savior. The Bible declares a risen Savior. And truly, God called ministers preach a risen Savior. I'm telling you, friends, if God raised him with power, he's not going to call a man to preach that there's no resurrection. So that man that preaches there's no resurrection is not God called and not Spirit filled. That's bold, isn't it? I said it. Because the Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. And preaching an unresurrected Christ is not the truth and not of the Spirit. Now, Paul goes on to the logical end. That's one logical end, that Christ is not raised if you don't believe in resurrection. And if Christ is not raised, if his resurrection is not real, then our preaching is vain. Not only that, but he said our faith is vain. We spent 3 months talking about faith. All that faith is vanity without the resurrection of Christ. And these people say, what faith are you? It don't matter what faith you are. It don't matter how strong your faith is. If Jesus Christ is not raised, even Christ as the object of it isn't going to matter much. It isn't going to matter at all. Because it's vanity without the resurrection of Christ. You got it? Preaching's vain, faith is vain without the resurrection. Paul says we're all false witnesses. All these ones that get up and declare the power of God by the Spirit of God are false witnesses if there's no resurrection. And if there's no resurrection, one of the most logical points that Paul made in this, a logical conclusion of believing there's no resurrection, that if there is no resurrection, ye are yet in your sins. Wow. What does that mean? That means that Jesus was not, if he was not resurrected and declared to be the Son of God, then he is not the Son of God, and we're still looking for another Messiah. And if we're still looking for another Messiah, we're yet in our sins. But if there is resurrection and Christ was resurrected, God declared him to be the Son of God by power by that, I take that to mean that if Christ was raised, we're not in our sins. Aren't you glad about that? Because if he paid the price on the cross and God accepted his offering and he came out of that holy place alive, just like the old priest did, then the people rejoiced. And without that, without the resurrection of Christ, you have no reason to rejoice. You have no hope for the future. You have no hope in this life, because there's nothing after it. Now, Paul, that's pretty strong, isn't it? He don't stop there. Paul keeps going on through this logical end of believing that there's no resurrection. And he says, if there's no resurrection, your great-grandmama, your great-granddaddy, all of your descendants, all of the ones that were in Christ are perished. You see what he did there? He talked about all the people that had been dead and gone that were in Christ before Christ even came. And even those that had died after, if Christ is not risen, every one of them are perished without the resurrection. Body, soul, and spirit. Just like the Sadducees thought. I tell you what, if you don't believe in the resurrection, I don't even, you can't believe in heaven. You can't believe in God without the resurrection. It has far-reaching implications what we believe, doesn't it? Paul's not done. Paul said, if you think that, then all those that are in Christ that are dead, they're perished. And Paul made this statement, I've already talked about it. He said, if we have in this life only, we have a hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. He didn't say of all Christianity. He said of all men. Now that tells me that you're more miserable as a Christian believing that there is no resurrection than a wicked man. That's strong, isn't it? If you don't believe Christ was raised, you're worse off in this life than a wicked man. You're more miserable than he is. But we ought to be the happiest people. Why? Because what we have now is a lively hope. Lively hope. Because Jesus Christ was raised. But Paul's not done. Paul said, You're in a conundrum, you people, you folks that don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Because why were you baptized for the dead? What is baptism? He says in verse 29. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, for why are they then baptized for the dead? That's not talking about being baptized so that your great-grandma could go to heaven. That's not talking about being baptized like that. That's talking about why did you get baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, because all baptism is a representation of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if Christ is dead, if He's not raised, why in the world would you do the symbolic thing that represents that He was raised? Why were you baptized if Christ is still in the grave? That, I tell you, that's not all. Paul's still not done talking about why, how important the resurrection is. He says, in verse 30, why stand we in jeopardy every hour? You know what jeopardy means? It's not the show. Na 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 na. It's not that Jeopardy with Alex Trebek. What does Jeopardy mean? Paul says, why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Jeopardy is peril. Paul's saying if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you stand in peril every hour. Why is that? Because you have no hope. Because you have no faith. Because you don't have a Messiah. You don't have a sin bearer. You don't have a Redeemer. You have no faith. You have no power. Why stand you in jeopardy every hour? Because if you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're in peril because you're still in your sins. I tell you what, how important is the resurrection to you? It's important to God. It was important enough to show it to all those people. It was important enough to Him to show it to me. It was important enough to Him to write it down in His Word, and it was important enough to show it to you, His children. I pray that we live our lives understanding what it means when the Bible says something, and when we think something, our thoughts and our attitudes have to be guided by the truth of the Scripture, not the other way around. The resurrection is real. I'll leave you with this thought. If the resurrection is not real, nothing else matters. Paul said that later on. He said, let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. If the resurrection is not real, nothing else matters. But you know what else? If the resurrection is real, nothing else matters. nothing else matters. Because you now have a hope of eternal life, and whatever comes through in your life, you have that hope, and you're not miserable. May God bless you. This is my prayer. Doors of church are open for reception of members. Should any have that desire to come and worship God with us. Remember, without the resurrection, there is no gospel.